Hello and welcome to another episode. Today, we're exploring a vital topic for educators, scaffolding for varied levels in the classroom. Lisa, how are you?
Hi James, I'm great. This is such an important area. Scaffolding can really make the difference between students just getting by and actually thriving, regardless of their starting point.
Absolutely. At its core, scaffolding is about providing temporary, concrete support so students with different readiness levels can all succeed on the same core task, whether that's a presentation, essay, project, or something more practical. The idea is to give them what they need to perform now, but also to gradually remove those supports so they can demonstrate independent competence.
Right, and this approach is really grounded in Vygotsky's concept of the zone of proximal development, isn't it? The idea is to give just enough help for students to succeed, but also enough challenge so they actually grow. A well-designed scaffold increases equity by giving lower-knowledge students targeted entry points while still challenging advanced learners.
Exactly. And it's crucial that every scaffold is explicit, observable and, importantly, fadable. We want to avoid students becoming dependent on support. The goal is always independent skill, not reliance on templates or checklists.
And to do that, every scaffold should align with the competence goal and with the assessment criteria for the final output. For instance, if the final product is an essay, your supports need to help students meet the essay's requirements, not just tick off random boxes.
That's where concrete scaffolds like sentence stems, checklists, and graphic organizers come in. For example, with an argumentative essay, you might give stems such as, "Although some people argue __, the evidence I will present shows __". Or topic sentences like, "One key reason is __, because __".
And checklists are a game changer, honestly. For a 5-paragraph essay, students could check, "I have a clear thesis, each paragraph has evidence and explanation, and so on." It's both a self-assessment and a way for teachers to give targeted feedback.
And let's not forget graphic organizers like mind maps. You can have the thesis in the center, with branches for each topic sentence, and sub-branches for evidence and explanation. It makes planning visible.
What I love is that you can tier scaffolds for different student levels. For beginners, maybe it's fill-in-the-blank templates and one-on-one mini-conferences. For developing students, you might use a mind map and peer review checklists. Proficient students could work more independently, maybe just using a rubric and getting feedback only if needed. And for advanced students, you can offer extension prompts or ask them to produce a multimedia presentation.
Yes, and the fading process is really deliberate. You start with lots of support, teacher modeling, full paragraph frames. Then, over several sessions, you reduce the scaffolds, partial frames, more peer editing, checklists, and eventually, just the rubric and self-checklist. The idea is to shift from teacher-led to joint construction, then independent work.
It's all about monitoring both the process and the product. You can use observation tools, quick exit tickets, like the information ladder, where students reflect, "I know __, I understand __, I can use __, I noticed __". This helps you decide if a scaffold can be faded or if someone needs extra support.
And peer scaffolding is so valuable. Pairing advanced students with developing peers for reciprocal teaching, or having students use peer review forms with specific strengths, areas to improve, and a question for the author. It's not just about teacher support.
There's also scaffolding for other output types, not just essays. For presentations, you might use storyboard templates and rehearsal checklists. For practical tasks, step-by-step flowcharts or roll cards with prompts. And for projects, a roadmap or planning map can help students manage stages from research to submission.
I think that's a great point. And integrating this with assessment, you can use portfolios to store drafts, feedback records, and final products. That way, the process is visible and part of the summative judgment.
Of course, there are pitfalls to avoid. One big one is letting scaffolds become a crutch. Students rely on them and never transfer the skill. The fix is to gradually require students to rephrase stems or write from prompts, not just fill in blanks. Another is over-scaffolding advanced students, which can bore them. That's why extension tasks and flexible outputs, like podcasts or poster presentations, are so important.
And I'd add, you have to teach students how to use scaffolds. Don't just hand them a template. Model it, explain why it helps, and give feedback on their use. Plus, always make sure your scaffolds map directly to the rubric. Each support should help students meet a specific criterion.
Right. And when it's time to fade, you look for two pieces of independent evidence that a student can perform the skill. Say, two essays where the thesis and evidence are solid. Then you move to a lighter support, like a checklist or peer buddy, before removing support entirely. If someone starts to struggle again, it's okay to reintroduce a scaffold briefly.
I think the final takeaway is that scaffolding is a process. You need to iterate, try your supports at least 4 times before deciding if they work. And always document your process. Use OneNote, portfolios, or photos of posters, so students can see their progress and you can make fair, process-oriented assessments.
Exactly. And don't underestimate the power of teaching students to scaffold themselves. When you model and justify supports, you actually build their metacognitive skills. They'll be able to apply this approach to future tasks, even when you're not there to help.
That's a brilliant point to end on. Thanks for joining me, Lisa, and thanks to our listeners. Next time, we'll be looking at practical strategies for peer feedback. Until then, keep scaffolding and keep growing. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone, and happy teaching.